Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And we talk about the economy a lot on this program. And you may have noted that the slowly positive trends in the economy, trends that seem legit, but are also propped up by the Federal Reserve's ultimately unsustainable policy of pledging to buy virtually any amount of housing debt and treasury bill obligations. They're keeping everything afloat. That policy keeps interest rates low and money flowing and business growing. So, can the economy fly by itself without the Fed? Well, it's a question nobody wants to even ask. If the Fed's influence over the economy as a whole is significant enough to be considered a dangerous dependency, consider this: the housing industry. Back before the financial recession, the federal private corporations, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Ginny Mae, backed about 40% or maybe a bit more of all the mortgages in the U.S. After 2009, though, Fannie and Freddie became total federal entities, and their share of the mortgage market in 2012, guess, did it rise, say, a whopping 100% to back 80% of the market's mortgages? Not even close. Today, Fannie and Freddie, just call them Feddy for the federal government, the feds control 99.3% of all the mortgages and mortgage-backed securities that the U.S. generates each year. That is essentially total federal control of the housing economy. Not unlike the influence, say, the Chinese army has over the hotel industry in Beijing. Government control. So can President Obama get the government out of the mortgage business?
We're actually confident that the private market can step in, do a good job, and the government can be a backstop so that we still have affordability and 30-year mortgages, but it's not the dominant player.
Really? How do you take Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac from total federal ownership and total control of the housing market to something considerably less without doing something dangerous to the economy?
We've got to turn the page on this kind of bubble and bust mentality that helped to create this mess in the first place. We've got to build a housing system that is durable and fair and rewards responsibility for generations to come.
Well, on Wednesday, President Obama answered questions from users of the real estate website Zillow, outlining his vision that will put private lenders back in place of greater financial responsibility for the housing market. And Congress is now considering bills that would phase out Fannie and Freddie over the next 5 years and shrink the government's role in guaranteeing mortgage securities. Joining us now is Massachusetts Representative Michael Capuano from the 7th District, a ranking Democrat on the House Financial Services Subcommittee on Housing and Insurance. Representative, welcome to the program.
How you doing, John?
Boy, the feds control 99.3% of the housing market. How do you pull that back? That's a powerful dependency, it seems to me.
You do it slowly and carefully. No one thinks that that's healthy for the economy in the long run. It was a necessary evil in the short run. But we all want to change that, and we want to get it back to some degree of balance. And you know, most people who are objective about this look in the 70% range that the Fed should be doing, or at least that's what they were doing when no one was complaining about the housing market.
But if the Feds pull back, why would private sector banks get into this business at all without the kinds of federal guarantees or the assurance that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to buy their mortgage securities no matter what? It was almost a done deal for the last 4 years.
Well, for the last 4 years, that's right. But before that, and again, I'm talking even before the bubble, when things were steady back in the 90s or the 80s, pick a time frame. But ever since 1933, the federal government has backed up these mortgages one way or the other. They have seldom been called on to deal with it until the recent bubble, but it worked great. It built the middle class. Prior to 1933, there was no federal backstop. Every mortgage was private. The average mortgage was approximately the same rates as we have now, but it required 50% down payment, and it was for a term of 5 years. I represent a pretty middle class district, and I will tell you that most of my constituents, including me, would never have been able to buy a home if I had to put 50% down and had to pay the term off for over 5 years.
But that means that in the terms that we're talking about now, there's almost more of a need to have a backstop that where the federal government will buy whatever mortgage is...
Well, they don't necessarily have to buy it. They do have to back it up at some point. And that is the basic philosophical difference. I will tell you that in the current debate, I have not found anyone other than a handful of ideological academics who believe that the federal government can get out of the business of backstopping it. There is a difference between buying it and backing it up. But buying it, obviously, is backing it up. That's the direct way to do it. And that's, we all agree, has happened too much. Backing it up is what they did in the 60s, the 70s, the 50s, the 40s. It's like, if you get in trouble after you've lost your money, we will step in. And that has worked very, very well, as long as you make sure that the fees that you charge are reasonable, as long as you make sure that the requirements you make from the borrowers are reasonable. I mean, you know, but these no-doc loans that we had for a few years, these subprime loans we had for a few years, giving a mortgage to anyone who just walked in the door, those are unacceptable behaviors, and that's what led us to the problem.
Is it possible to do this and keep the housing market out of the very liquid derivatives market? If you try to get the derivatives market out, you're going to really dry up all the cash.
It's hard to say. That's not my goal. I mean, I think the derivatives market has a role to play, and again, it played it well for a long time. But there are different kinds of derivatives. I mean, there are relatively stable, thoughtful derivatives, but then there's incredibly risky derivatives that I do think that we should stay out of, and that's what we're trying to find the balance for now.
One of the ironies here is that this has actually been a darn good business for the federal government. The federal government's been making money hands over fist from Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
That's exactly right, and you know, that's all well and good, but that's not the goal here. I mean, because first of all, who are they making money off of? They're making money off of new homeowners, usually middle class people. That's not the goal. Number one. Number two is that we don't think it's a sustainable model. Many of us don't think that. We do think the private enterprise has a role to play. We think that that it should have a significant role to play. But in the final analysis, honestly, the bill that was just passed out of our committee, which gets the federal government out of any aspect of this in a matter of 5 years. Has no support whatsoever except for a few right-wing extreme academic ideologues. Everyone in the business, from home buyers to home sellers to home builders to realtors to banks to anyone who has an objective viewpoint on this, who is part of making this economy go, all believes that this particular bill is too extreme and will destroy the middle-class home market.
So it's going to be hard to take anything but baby steps here.
I think it is, and I actually think that this is too important to do anything other than that. I think baby steps, but thoughtful, consistent baby steps, I think is not a bad way to go in this case. Big, huge steps runs the risk of letting your ideology get ahead of the economy, and I think that's insane. Whether people like it or not, the housing market is a big chunk of our entire economy, never mind what it means to individual homeowners. And for me, I think that that demands a conservative and thoughtful and slow approach towards the changes that we make.
Representative Michael Capuano of the 7th District in Massachusetts, Democrat from Massachusetts on the House Financial Services Subcommittee on Housing and Insurance. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
So can the brokers out there imagine a moment where Fannie and Freddie have just gone away? What would this actually mean for would-be homebuyers out there? I'm joined by Brett Berry, an associate broker with HomeSmart in Phoenix, Arizona. Brett, welcome.
Hello. Thank you, John.
So does this terrify you? Does this help the market at all? Is there suddenly going to be private banks coming down on homeowners? The liquidity is just going to go away here?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's terrifying, but I would say that it is highly unlikely, in my opinion, that Fannie and Freddie are going to be exiting the market in the way that the gentleman just described. I also listened to President Obama's speech here in Phoenix a few days ago. I think similar to the immigration debate, I think there's a bit of fantasy here. Right now, the banks have a very nice situation. They get to originate the loans. They get to be paid when they originate the loans. They get to service the loans. That means you pay them like a toll booth when you're the consumer every month. And as long as those loans stay good, everything is good. But if the loans go bad, of course, American taxpayers now are, as you said, 99% on the hook if these loans go bad. So I don't see Fannie and Freddie exiting in the way that these gentlemen are describing. If they do, why would the banks have any interest or their lobbyists in letting this happen? They have a beautiful and sweet and perfect situation right now.
Well, let's go back to what the congressman was saying, Michael Capuano was saying. Look, you know, if you go back just 4 years ago, we did it very differently. All we have to say to the banks is new plan. It's called the old plan. You've had a lovely time over the last 4 years. Now we're going to go back to the way you used to do it. And they'll have to because they want to stay in the mortgage business.
Well, they I don't think they have to. I mean, the best analogy is when you've got a 2 or 3 year old that's still got the binky in the mouth, it's very hard to take that binky out of the baby's mouth, you know, if you remember back that far.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that the banks right now have enjoyed the comfort and the perfectness of the situation. I do not see them willingly doing that. Let's also think about this. The Fed and the Treasury have an extremely powerful lever right now on the economy, which they did not have before. Do they really want to willingly give that up? They don't have that many levers, as we know, and I'm not an economics person. I'm just a lowly realtor for the last 20 years. But that's a very strong lever on housing.
Well, let's talk a little bit. If they were to go ahead with this and there would be some sort of uncertainty, would different areas of the country be affected? Would a certain private sector credit lines be more available for the Northeast, the Southwest? Would it be a problem in Las Vegas, which, of course, had such a serious housing recession? What do you make?
Okay. Well, here in Phoenix, for example, I mean, if this were to play out, if banks were to come back into the market, and I believe they're talking about having them have about a 10% skin in the game. That means if the loans go bad, they'd be liable for 10%. By the way, that doesn't sound too painful to me.
No.
But I would expect interest rates would be far higher than today. Maybe they'd be 6 or 7 or 8% if banks were to get involved. And to be honest with you, maybe that's not such a bad thing. And maybe down payments need to go up too. Maybe not as much as the representative mentioned, 50%. Maybe they need to go up to 10% or 15%. And maybe it would slow things down a bit and also maybe temper some of these overheated markets. Real quick, John, I just want to say our market in Phoenix is up over 25% year over year. Now, from my definition, that seems like it's getting a little heated again, and it makes me nervous, frankly.
All right. So calm down the bubble with some slightly higher interest rates and transactions that actually are more viable than under the umbrella of Fannie and Freddie. Brett Berry, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Brett Berry is associate broker with HomeSmart in Phoenix, Arizona. Stay in your career, leave your career, go raise your family, stay home. How do you make that decision?
This is Ian from Maui. We had a decision to make. She either drops out or I drop out of work. And long decision short, I decided that I would rather take off and let her build her clientele once she graduated than to sit back and watch her founder after working so hard at her dreams. So I spent the next 2 years raising our beautiful baby, and turned out to be one of the best jobs I had.
And you live in Maui there, Ian. Thanks so much for sharing. Maui helps anything. The difficulty of a decision to leave your career and raise a family, it's an equal challenge for men and women, but women have some interesting narratives that we're going to explore coming up next. Stay with us. This is The Takeaway.